Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, this is Peter Paul Brizola. Welcome to July 14th, Julia Cator's French National Independence Day, Bastille Day, when the people got fed up, the poor people and even the underclass in France got tired of the abuses of the nobility, the church, and the king, much as like the Tea Party people today. And that theme there, thought we had stopped this. it is from the March of the Scaffold from the Symphony Concert by Billy Ocean. Oh, we got a little problem. Okay, there we go. Got it stopped. Sorry about that. Anyway, we have a treat for you today. All of you who may have watched or will watch on the DVD, which is surely coming out, on one of the greatest and lowest scoring international World Cup soccer games between Spain and Holland. There's a lot of history there. One of the commentators mentioned that this is one way that Spain can be united. They've had all these problems with ETA, the Basque, and also in Catalan, which is where Barcelona is, and that's also the last port in Spain where, after the Spanish Civil War, the communists departed with the gold they stole from Spain. They departed for Russia, Soviet Russia, because Stalin backed the loyalists, which was the Republicans of the communists, the leftists, and Hitler and Mussolini backed Franco, the rebels, and of course Franco won. But here's the public policy question. Where politicians and governments fail in international relations, do cultural exchanges and international sporting events unite people in something common? And the commentator, we watched ABC, and we think there's something to that. If you look at all the cultural exchanges we've had between the Soviet Union and Communist China and the United States and other countries who were politically opposed to us and may still be. But we believe that also that music unites people, and there's just something about those seven notes and the eighth, which is the octave, in melodies, which is music is a universal language. And since today is Bastille Day, I'm going to play the original French national anthem with one of the greatest conductors who ever lived, the great teacher Pierre Montour. Wait a minute, sorry, that's the wrong one. This is the correct one. I'm sorry. That one will save for later. Here we go.
Écoute, avant de prévenir, je vous plais de officiel version. Not any arrangement. Right?
It's the original French national anthem.
Thank you very much.
That's an old recording, part of the Carson Brazola archive, when I was a music student many, many years ago. And that was the great Pierre Montu, the late Pierre Montu. His son was a famous flute player, and Montu taught people like Andre Previn, a lot of conductors and musicians who are around today. Quite a guy, and we'll get into him another day since music is one of our specialties. And part of our topics today, in July of 1991, I think I've got it right, we had the here in San Francisco disgruntled client, Giancarlo Ferri, had given some money, his last assets apparently, to a law firm called Pettit & Martin. And they were in 101 California, building a huge building, and it'll be up on the web probably on our Amicus Veritas site, AmiCusVeritas YouTube site. Excuse me, it's on our AmicusVeritas.org site. But what had happened was he wanted to get a contract from HUD to set up a retirement community facility in Pleasanton, California, in upscale East Bay, Alameda County, very wealthy, one of the wealthiest counties in California. Anyway, the law firm either couldn't do it or they took their money and didn't do it. So he got angry and lost it and got a rifle, a high-powered rifle, went across the street on the roof and started to blow away people at this law firm, Pettit & Martin. And it was one of the biggest slaughters of lawyers and people in a law firm in U.S. history, and it should be a lesson to these corrupt lawyers, a lot of them who think they're bar card and confers upon them infallibility, untouchability, they can do what they want to clients when they want, how they want, and get away with it. Well, there's a growing number of lawyers who are being blown away by disgruntled clients. I'm not encouraging that, but this is an ugly fact of life. It's an irrefutable fact of life, especially when a bullet comes aiming their way. And it's sad that a profession which is sworn to uphold the Constitution and to have ethics and competency, when you have members of that profession who pull these stunts on people who can't afford to be ripped off and shouldn't be ripped off to begin with. Talking about law, going along further, this has not been reported, but it's very important. We are hearing about the BART, that's the transportation system in the East Bay and San Francisco Bay Area, where this cop, not a cop for hire, but it's a transit cop, like New York Transit Police, Chicago Transit Police, that kind of position, who claims that he was going to taser this black kid who was handcuffed and on the ground, but instead mistakenly reached for his gun and shot the kid in the back, and there was this big uproar. The cop, Johannes Merzely, they moved the trial out of Oakland, California, where there was too much local prejudice and agitation. They moved it to L.A. This is the second time a Northern California trial has been moved to L.A. The first one was about 5 years ago, where these two lawyers, again, had this these vicious dogs. They were living in an apartment building, and the dog attacked the lesbian lover of this woman, tore the woman apart. There was no excuse for what these lawyers' dogs did. They shouldn't have kept them. The management should not had liability and did pay $1 million damages to the woman whose lover was ripped apart by these dangerous dogs. And the lawyers were tried and convicted. Both lost their law licenses, and one of them, the woman, is still in California State Prison. She's appealing it. But this is what happens. But anyway, the guy they're in California in a homicide murder conviction, there's an automatic 30-day appeal to the California State Appellate Court, which is the next level up. And then there's the California Supreme Court and the Ninth Circuit District Court and the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal. There are about 40 or 50 people on California's death row, there may be more, my figure may be off, and it's taking forever to execute a lot of these people, unlike Texas and other states. But anyway, the question that one question that everybody should be asking as a matter of public policy, should taser weapons be redesigned so that even in a moment of panic or confusion, that a police officer who carries a taser doesn't confuse the grabbing a taser with grabbing a gun, which causes a fatality, in this case, the killing of that kid, who was the father of a child, about 21, the grandkin. And, of course, there were outside agitators who came into Oakland stirring up trouble, as they usually do. That's no excuse. And the guy, you know, apparently had a fair trial, unlike Stephen Neri, which we'll get into another day. But anyway, what else is going on in Oakland, which was not was reported in one paper, is even though the Oakland police have got, have done 80 members of the police force have been laid off because they don't have the money to pay them. But what's going on is that there's a complaint that the Oakland police have found an excuse to enter a house under the guise of say, building code violations, and that's illegal to do that. But they are accused of doing that over in Oakland, so maybe with this 80-cop layoff, they'll back off this, which is going to cost them the city of Oakland. If they get into lawsuits, it's going to cost them big bucks. But it's something that people should be aware of because cops should not be entering anybody's house or office without a valid warrant or a valid reason to enter the premises, you know, instead of coming in there under false pretenses and then looking for stuff which may or may not be contraband or legal. Excuse me. So another thing that people should be aware of with this upcoming election in November, the country's in an uproar over illegal aliens, and it's not immigration, it's aliens. These people are not coming here to become citizens. I would recommend two books, both by Jack Cashel, a great author, investigative editor, has written many books. His latest is on the downing of TWA Flight 800 over New York Bay about 10 years ago, I think it was. Anyway, he's written a book on California, What's the Matter with California? He investigated around the state. He went from San Diego all the way up to the northern part of the state. I did a couple of chapters on the Stephen Neri case, Manson, O.J. There were things that I lived here, and I didn't know about O.J. Simpson and that his father was gay and a dysfunctional family, and then the Manson family. But I would recommend the book, What's the Matter with California? Jack Cashel is the author. And then his other book just came out, and he's a very prolific writer. He's been one every year, practically. It's called Popes and Bankers, A Cultural History of Credit and Debt from Aristotle to AIG. We're all concerned about the impending suspected financial ruin of the United States. And it's an entertaining book. It ought to be a supplementary required reading for every high school student, but I recommend this for your summer reading instead of some of the trash that they're passing off as informative and entertaining. We're also seeing, it's unfortunate, this NAACP, it used to be a great organization with people like A. Philip Randolph of the Sleeping Carter, Sleeping Car Porters, and people, we all back in the 60s marched arm in arm, whether you were black, Asian, Jewish, Native American, Anglo, arm in arm. We were spat upon, stoned upon in civil rights marches. Now the NAACP has gone off the wild, and even competent and even liberal blacks are saying, hey, they don't represent my interests. And here in San Francisco, they appointed as the head of their local chapter a guy with pedophile judgments, Reverend Amos Brown, and you can find him on our website or on a YouTube site at Amicus Veritas. He's got pedophile judgments against him and his church, the Third Baptist Church. And this is the guy that's running the NAACP, you know. How can these people have credibility appointing a guy like that to run their local chapter? It just goes to show you how way off these people are, and they're out of touch with with reality. And here's some interesting dates today. All you people who know Teamsters or like the Teamsters are really good union people. Today is the birthday of Jimmy Hoffa, who was born in 1919, one of the most interesting birthdays. It's also, this is interesting, in 1832, opium was exempted from the federal tariff tax. Now, opium was banned in China, but the British used it. It was a capital crime to possess or use opium. And the British used opium. They imported it from India. That's where it originally came from. And they used it to open up China because China was like a slaughtered cow. They weren't the major power then that they are now and are becoming even more so of a major power and the prominent major power. And then It was President Charles de Gaulle who said, it was Napoleon, excuse me, let China sleep, for when she wakes, the world will tremble. And China means the Middle Kingdom, so it's something we should pay attention to and remember that the great political leaders and thinkers and philosophers of the past recognized China for what she was, a lot of contributions to the world. She went into this slumber, this decline, but she's been resurgent. We also are seeing a resurgence of what I consider and other people consider black racism. And that's what these Black Panthers, who were funded illegally but federal funds, which they hijacked in Oakland, California. In fact, the first poverty programs were tried out in Oakland with the Black Panther Party. Now, that's a fact. In the Lyndon Johnson administration, the Model Cities program, which turned out to be destroyed cities. Oakland was one of the worst places to be. In fact, it was so bad that the cops in Oakland were hired from rednecks down south, and there was always a problem over there between the blacks and the white establishment, and the Oakland Tribune, which is run by the late Senator William Nolan's family, an old California family. Also today, we had the inventing of the tape measure. So all the people worrying about their waistline, today you can thank God that the tape measure was invented and it's accurate. Also, a lot of people mistakenly think that Wernher von Braun, the Nazi scientist who developed the V-2 rockets that were falling on England at the end of the war, Hitler's wonder weapons, invented the liquid fuel rocket. It wasn't him. Dr. Robert Goddard, an American living in the East, I think Massachusetts, in 1914, he discovered a way to develop the first liquid fuel rocket. That's before Wernher von Braun. I think Wernher von Braun was still in school at the time. Also, again, we should pay attention to any development and prior developments in history regarding the medical field. In 1933, the doctors, the Nazi Party, it was called National Socialist Democratic Party, abolished all the other parties, and the Nazis, or Nazis, as Churchill used to call them, became the only legitimate party in Germany. Also on this date in history, 1933, since Hitler and the Nazis controlled all facets of government, including the medical field, and we'll get into Doctors Under Hitler, another book you should read, especially now if you're concerned about where our health care is going. All the doctors were required, that anybody who had an inherited deficiency, or what the Nazis considered deficiencies, these victims were to be sterilized. Later they were euthanized in the sanitariums and later in the concentration camps. And then, since we were worried about National Socialism and National Socialism here in the United States and in this state in history, 1 million people protested who represented the Popular Front. This was the socialists who came to power in France during the 30s, and Léon Blum, who was Jewish background, was the premier of France, and he established the what they call the French holidays, where the August was the month that the French went on vacation. And if you've ever been to France in August, it's pretty hard to find a Frenchman there, supposed to be on vacation. But that was later overthrown, and the right wing in France has always been this battle, has came back to power. And then we had the first slave revolt today. And also, this is interesting since we're talking about money, we had the first federal direct tax on states' dwellings and their slaves. And then there was the slave rebellion, I think in South Carolina, Denmark Vesey, V-E-R-S-Y. I think they caught him and executed him. And also the Spanish came up to Monterey, Portola. And then in 1945, we had the first U.S. Navy bombing of Japan, the USS South Dakota, a battleship. Battleships were named after states in those days. They bombed Japan. I don't have the exact date. The first bombing, aerial bombing of Japan was, of course, with General Doolittle, who bombed Tokyo back in 1942 with the B-25, which flew off the USS Hornet. The USS Hornet, or its successor, is now a museum in Alameda, California, which is near Oakland. Oakland's in that county, and there's the city of Alameda, which is the former Alameda Naval Air Base, and we'll get into why that's important to every military recruit. this is also interesting. The first B-29 bombing of Tokyo was pilot. The first plane, a B-29 that bombed Tokyo, bombed Japan, was piloted by the late Roman Puchinsky, who I debated during the Vietnam War when I was a student, and he is the father of the Black Box, which is also on Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmicusVeritas. So we've got about 80 videos up there, Video Verite. But he was a pilot. He became a U.S. congressman from Illinois, and during the Vietnam War, I debated him while I was in college. And it's quite interesting. When I made a point, he'd breathe in my direction. It turned out he had bad breath, and that was his way of deflecting me. But anyway, during that debate, we were discussing downed airmen in Vietnam, and he said that he had told President Lyndon Johnson that they ought to install tape recorders in the cockpit so that they would get that would be indestructible, so they could recover if they recovered the tape box, the tape recorders, which are called black boxes today. They could discover how what caused the plane crash. So he's the father of the black box, and he should be given credit. We're going to end with the original, with the current great, the big national, French national anthem, how it's played at functions, and this is really spectacular.
Thank you.
actually. That's the French national anthem that's used for these grandiose occasions. It's quite different from the earlier original authentic Le Marseillais, which was conducted by the late, great conductor Pierre Monteux. We're changing our schedule, and we may add another a day. Depends on my health. We're going to be on Mondays and Wednesdays through July, and then maybe in August we'll add another date, and we'll keep the same time. I don't want to go beyond a half hour. It's quite a bit with all the work I have to do and the legal work. But we invite you to go to, again, our YouTube site. We're updating it. A lot of stuff's going to be uploaded, a wide variety of things that can, the new economy, things that are going on. It ranges from, are they watering down your coffee at these coffee kiosks? What's going on in some of the restaurants? Even prostitution. You'd be surprised what's going on with prostitution. So that'll be we'll be adding that. And you go to our original blog sites on at amicusveritas.org, and we'll be bringing you how they ripped off the votes, the Alinsky people and their allies, and how we have people who entered this country illegally now telling us how we're going to run this country. I mean, the nerve of these people, they ought to be deported. So we're going to expose these political flotsam. So tune in Friday at this time, 5:30, and then again Monday, and we may add another day in August. So again, thank you for listening. Go to our YouTube sites, Amicus Veritas, AmiCusVeritas. This is Peter Paul Verzola working with the New Shadow, and we'll go through our archives and the stuff we did at Western Public Radio and KLW FM here in San Francisco. So we're going to sign off now. My voice is going. I'm still getting over whatever this is. But as they say, the show must go on. This is Peter Paul Verzola. Thank you for listening. Mm-hmm.